You would have thought, after all God did for him, and what he had done for the other soldiers of King Ben-Hadad in another story where he let them have their eyesight back and were bad, you would have thought that King Ben-Hadad would have turned to God if he had no time for God. No, he had no time for God, and neither did he have time for the children of Israel. In fact, what he did is he told his troops, "You get ready, take all the food that you can carry, and get your supplies, and we're going to surround the city of Samaria." Samaria was the capital of Israel. And what they did is they surrounded that whole city so that none could get out. None could get in. All what they wanted to do was stop the war. They didn't fight back then, like you do today with airplanes and all the other ammunition. No, they were going to starve them out. But there's an interesting verse found in Psalm 33 that says this: "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and maketh the devices of the people of none effect." There's another verse that says this in the book of Proverbs: "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand." You see, they were going to try to starve them out. But we read tonight from Psalms 105 where it tells us this, that it was the law. "Moreover, the Lord commanded a Sabbath. He called for one, and he broke the whole staff of bread." You see, it was God, once again, that was using the enemy to discipline the children of Israel. And so, God was behind the whole city. Well, nevertheless, inside the city, they were having a terrible time. Because there was nothing to eat. And for those people who could sell anything, they got higher, and people didn't even have enough money to buy anything, but there was nothing to buy. That's a whole day that they paid 80 pieces of silver, which would have been approximately around $52, for a donkey's head. Now, you know there isn't much meat on a donkey's head. There's hardly anything there to make a good soup. But nevertheless, that's what they bought. They were starving inside the city. They spent 5 pieces of silver, which would be about $3.25 for less than a pint of seltzer. Now, you know, you would hardly even scoop that low to eat it. But they were hungry. And you know, at that time, Jehoram, who knew all about God, he didn't cry out to God. He had no time for God. Even though God had proved himself over and over again, but this King Jehoram, what he decided to do was to walk the wall. Now the walls around Samaria were wide, thick, high walls. In fact, those walls were high enough that what you could do is you could take your horses and chariots and ride on the top of the wall. And this man here, he decided to walk the wall to survey what was taking place. And as he was walking the wall, all of a sudden there was a woman that cried out to him because she saw him on the wall. "Help me! Help me!" "What do you expect? To help you from the barn floor or from the wine? What do you want from me? What's your trouble?" "Okay. Yesterday, we went and took my child because my woman over here and I agreed that what we would do, because we were so hungry, is that we would kill him and then eat him. And now it's her turn to kill her child so we can eat him, but she didn't." God said that if the children of Israel would continue in their sinful, rebellious ways, they would do that.
read that verse in Leviticus where it says that if they would not hearken unto the voice of God, if for all this they would not hearken unto the voice of God, but would walk contrary unto him, then he would walk contrary unto them also in sin. Thy even I will chasten them seven times, saith the Lord, and they shall eat the flesh of their sons, and the flesh of their daughters shall be eaten. For you see, God said that they would keep that day. When the king heard what the woman had done, he ripped his clothes. Oh, he was not only angry, but when he ripped his clothes, you could see that he had sackcloth underneath. Now, they wore the sackcloth to show that they were in mourning. It was an outward show. But we read in the book of Psalms that God desires to see truth in the inward heart. It was only an outside show. And God's word tells us in the book of Job, and rend your heart, not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, long-suffering and plenteous in kindness. But you see, this king, Jehoram, he had no time for God. And what he said is when he heard that, after he ripped his clothes, he said, oh, God! This? He blamed God. Reminds me of the verse in Revelation. They gnawed their tongues with pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their sores and their pain and repented of their evil deeds. Amazing how people will always blame God. They never turn to God for help, but they'll blame God when something goes wrong. And so what he said was this: what's going to happen is I'm going to take off the head of Elijah. He knew he couldn't do anything against God, so what he decided to do is to give an order for the head of Elisha to be removed. So he called for a man, a servant, to take a sword and go to the house where Elisha was and take off his head. Now the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 7 tells us that God oftentimes reveals to the prophet what he would do. God reveals to Elisha what the king intended to do. Now, I don't know what you would do if you knew somebody was coming to take your head off, but I know what I would do. I'd get out as fast as I could. But you know what happened? When Elisha heard that, why, the Bible says that Elisha sat in his house. I like the verse that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It also says in the book of Psalms, chapter 112, and verse 7, I think it is, where it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Oh, that you might have your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord. Then there's that verse that says, thou wilt mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Elijah was at peace. He sat there with the elders in his house. But then he said to one of the elders, go and shut the door and bolt it, for I can hear the footsteps of the king coming along with the servant that seeks to kill me. So the servant got up and he closed the door and bolted it. Sure enough, there was the servant that was coming with the sword, and right behind him was the king. There was King Jehoram leaning on a servant. Then that Elijah spoke, now hear the word of the Lord. He spoke loud enough so they could hear him right outside the door. And you would have thought that what he was going to say was God was going to pour out wrath. You know, there's a verse that says in Psalm 76, surely the wrath of man shall praise him, and the remainder of wrath shall sound his name. And instead of pouring out wrath, which they deserve, oh, we've been singing about it almost every night about that amazing grace. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, at the city's gate, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a second. And 2 measures of barley will be sold for a second. And the man whom the king was leaning upon when he heard that, he laughed. How could it possibly be? Well, he said, even if God had windows in heaven, how could that be? And he mocked. Elisha said to him, you're going to see it, but you will not eat thereof. Yes, you'll see it, but you will not be able to eat thereof. So we find that the king, he gave the orders that Elisha alive for another day. And God began to work. You see, God works in all kinds of ways. And on this occasion, God didn't particularly use Elisha, God used anyone. And even though King Jehoram did not believe in God or put his trust in God, yet he did follow one of the rules of the Word of God, for the lepers were cast outside the city. And on this occasion, there were 4 lepers who were outside the city gate. I told you that leprosy. I told you that leprosy is very contagious. And because of that reason, these lepers were cast outside. And wherever they they had to cry, unclean, unclean. There they sat, outside the city gate. Well, these lepers, as they were sitting outside the city gate, they were having a conversation. And they were talking about, which way do you want to die? Have you ever thought about that?
I have. I thought about how I would like to die. I would like to go quick. No. But we don't have a choice about that. But the Word of God does say it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment.
Oh, you see, it's not that I'm afraid of that because I know that I've got eternal life. But someday, if the Lord doesn't come soon, this body of mine can die. The real me that's inside, of course, will never die. But these lepers were discussing which way you want to die. And as they thought about it, they mentioned the fact that they could die for the lack of bread, of starvation. Or they could die if they went to the enemy camp. And then they thought about it, well, we could just die in our leprosy and sit here and die.
Girls and men and women. Those are the ways that we're going to die spiritually.
You could die, you know, and never make it to heaven for the lack of bread.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of me, he shall live forever.
Oh, you see, the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, and you take him as your Savior, that's eating of him. That's what he's talking about. It's not talking about taking communion as the world calls it, or the Lord's Supper. No, it's when you confess your sins and you receive him. The Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on him. or, they said, we could die at the hand of the enemy. Our verse is telling us that. Yeah? Satan's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Do you know that Satan wants you? He wants to take you right to hell. And then, they said we could die because of our leprosy. We could just die by sitting here and do nothing. You know, there's many people who are going to die in their sin. Their spiritual leprosy. They're going to die in it because they've done nothing about it. Jesus Christ did it all for you on the cross. But you need to take the gift of salvation. And if you just sit there and never do anything about it, you'll die. Well, as these lepers talked about which way you wanted to die, they decided, why don't we go and see if there's anything we can get from the enemy's kingdom? So they decided that they would go to the Assyrian king. Now, when they made a decision, God began to work.
Oh, amazing thing.
We've been reading that verse or memorizing the verse, the God of all.
Oh, he's full of it.
And you know, when they made that decision to do something, God began to work. Yeah. What God did is this. He got his horses and his chariots to start to ride.
He has them, you know.
And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made both of them. And so what these horses and chariots did of God, they began to ride right over the Syrian camp.
They heard them.
And when the Syrians heard the horses and chariots and the sound of them, the cry went throughout the whole camp. Grab what you can and run for your life. Run! Run! They grabbed what they could. They got on their horses and they took off with whatever they could take. But God, why, what he did is he made the horses and the chariots sound even louder. And these Syrians, they were sure that what the Israelites did is that they hired the Egyptians and the Hittites to come and fight against them. And so the command was given, drop everything and run. Drop everything and run for your life. Run! Run! People, they began to run. They dropped things. And those lepers, as they came to the camp, but all over there was all kinds of things on the ground. And they found gold. Oh, did they ever enjoy their food? They found abundance. They ate and they drank and they ate and they drank till they just stuffed them. They began to find silver. They found gold. And they found all kinds of clothes. And they began to hide it. And he did the stuff that he found. One leper finally spoke up and said, you know, fellas, we don't do that. What's the matter with you, man? What do you want? We got everything. What do you mean we don't do well? This leper spoke and said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we wait till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now we have a responsibility to go and tell the king's household.
You know, there's some people sitting right in this room, and they're not doing that. Oh, they know about the good news of salvation, but they never tell it.
They don't tell us. You keep quiet. You shut up. You hold your peace. You have a responsibility. So they decided that they needed to go and tell the king's household. So they went back to the king's home. And when they got to the king's gate, they called up to the porter, "We've got news! We've got exciting news! Why, we went to the camp of the Syrians and there's nobody there! But there's food, there's silver, there's gold, there's salt, there's everything on the ground, round about! Tell the king!"
Reporter. He didn't leave his post. You know, we can learn from the people of the world what he did. He called for porters that were under him. And he said to these porters, "You go and tell the king what the lepers have to say." It was at night now. The king was already asleep. They came and they told the news. They told the king what the lepers had to say.
Syrians know that we're starving to death. It's a trick. It's a trap.
They want us to come outside of the city. And as soon as we come out, they'll kill us. Don't you understand what they're trying to do?
Never thought what the man of God said. What would happen to him? That never even thought. And one of the servants said to him, "But at least send 5 horses and wagons to check it out."
Finally, King Jehoram said, "Okay, take 2. And when they went and checked it out, it was just like the leper said. There was all kinds of things there in abundance, food supplies like they had never seen. And not only that, there was all this silk, this gold, and there was all kinds of clothes for them to collect. Oh my, it was just like they said."
They filled up the wagon. Oh my. They filled it up. And they went back.
You know, it was just lepers found with the food. You know, fellows and girls and men and women, again, I want to stress that point that what you need to do if you've never done it is take the bread of life and receive that. The very next thing that they found was silver. And whenever you read about silver in the Word of God, it speaks about redemption. For as much as you know that you were not silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, all that we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. But in the tabernacle and throughout the Word of God, you will find that silver is a type or a picture of redemption. And I want to say something to you believers, those of you who know Christ. If your redemption is only the fact that it saves you from hell, which is true, that's good, you haven't grown very much in your Christian life. You see, that verse says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions of your fathers," in other words, your manner of life, or the way that you live. You see, not only were you redeemed to have eternal life, you've been redeemed so that your whole lifestyle would change and you would grow in the Lord. You know, there's some people who have never gotten that. You see, he bought you with a price of his own blood. You know, that your whole lifestyle would change because you belong to him. Well, they got silver. They got gold. You see, the gold speaks about the fact that we belong to him. When you put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a child of the king.
And then, they also found all kinds of clothes. And that reminds me of the fact that when we're saved, oh, he dresses us up. But we're fit for him. Our garments, all of our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. But you know, he dresses us up. So we're fit for him. Oh, that we might show that we belong to the Lord. Well, they got all these things when they came back to the gate. And there, the man whom the king leaned on, he was put in charge of the gate. Yes, King Jehoram said, you take charge of the gate. And so he did. He tried to keep the people under control. But listen, these people were starving to death inside the city. And when they came and he opened up the gate, they just moved in. They knocked him to the ground. They knocked him to the ground and they walked on him. In fact, the Word of God says they trampled him to death. Remember what Elijah said? You'll see it, but you won't be thereof. Oh, he saw it all. He saw exactly what the Lord said would happen. There at the gate, a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley was sold for a shekel. You know what God's word says in the book of Philippians? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Oh, it's very strong there where it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And I want to tell you tonight that you should bow. Oh, the day is going to come and you're going to bow, whether you want to or whether you don't want to. You will bow before him. Oh, I want to say tonight is the time to receive bow. Tonight is the time to bow before him and recognize him as your Savior. You have a question about that? You stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the comments. And Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence and we just want to thank you for the word of God. I pray there might be someone here tonight that will bow and say, Lord, I want to be sure. I want to be sure that I have eternal life. Give them courage.